Continental Tyres.
AFL Trade Radio.
The Late Trade for Chemist Warehouse. Right now at Chemist Warehouse, get free delivery within 3 hours powered by DoorDash.
T's and C's apply.
And for MEGT. Focus on your business and let MEGT recruit your next apprentice or trainee. Visit megt.com.au.
Good afternoon. It is the Late Trade for MEGT. Hello to you, wherever you might be, as we work our way through less than 48 hours after the D's break the 57-year drought. We are into the trade period. Free agency into the trade. Huge 3 weeks ahead of us. Damien Barrett will be the man traditionally sitting in this spot, but as he works his way back from the west, being over in Perth for the last couple of weeks, Cam Luke filling in for one day, Matty Rendell, Stephen Silvani will be here each and every day, and the boys are here, are ready to go. Hello, gentlemen.
G'day, Cam. Pleasure to be here again. Had a lot of fun last year, so looking forward to it again.
Looking forward to it. Sauce, hello to you, buddy.
How are you, Cam?
I'm good. Excited. It's exciting time of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, particularly coming off the weekend we came off, great effort by the Demons. Obviously, plenty of Demons fans out there still partying. And you're a Bulldog supporter.
I am a Bulldog supporter. These things happen. It'd be a weird feeling to be a D's fan today, and for droughts that have been broken the last 4 or 5 years with the Tigers and the Bulldogs previous to that. You traditionally go into this period just finding a way to get better over the next couple of weeks, adding players and not having too much on the way out. D's fans wouldn't give a stuff about free agency and trades right now.
No.
And nor should they.
No, and their picks are later, although we'll talk about them next week, but just off a little bit of homework I did. The 9 players playing that grand final were picks between 20 and 40, Sauce. That's a damn good effort and one of the reasons.
And what do they have, 5 from other clubs?
5 from other clubs and about probably 5 picks inside 5. Would it be Brayshaw, Petrarca, Oliver. Jackson, Oliver.
Salem.
No,
he was
9.
Was 9, wasn't he?
Just thinking if there's another one there inside 5. Off the top of my head, I can't. Maybe not, but certainly 4. That's how you do it. They did it beautifully. Jason Taylor and Tim Lamb there.
Great effort.
Got that list going beautifully.
What'd you make of the game?
I thought it was a really good game. I really enjoyed it. It was sad, the blowout. The Bulldogs didn't deserve the blowout. They've been absolutely magnificent during the final series and what they've had to do to get to that grand final, what they've had to give up. And they've been outstanding, and for it to blow out 9-1 the last quarter was, disappointing for the fans of the Bulldogs, but great for Melbourne. For 3 quarters, that was an enthralling game. You didn't know which way it was going to go, and blokes are doing spectacular things, and plenty of stuff gets stuffed up as per usual with the pressure. So and the ground and the atmosphere in that was great as well. And that beautiful, twilight into darkness at halftime and darkness in the second half, which the AFL have been desperate to do since 2013 when they were all at the Patriots. Seattle Mariners, not Seattle Mariners, that's the baseball team.
Seahawks.
Mm-hmm. Final, which I was actually at. And it started in twilight, exactly the same thing. So they got the perfect storm with the game having to go to West Coast.
I think that's where we met. At that Super Bowl.
Oh, you were at there?
I was there as well.
Jeez,
that are memorable.
My memory's going.
It was, but you're right, and the ratings. And I know it's a bit of a different world of which we live, but I think the AFL will keep it up their sleeve for the next broadcast deal. But I think that the numbers just suggest, as we get closer and deeper into this, I think we'll be seeing later and later grand finals.
Yeah, I love the pregame, to be honest. Mm. I think it's probably the best stop. I mean, on TV, I thought it came across fantastically well. As for the game, really up until 3-quarter time, even though I guess the D's were sort of probably 3 or 4 goals up, they were still in it. But even halfway through that 3rd quarter where they were 19 points up, and really even listen to the broadcast and, it was almost looking like it was the Bulldogs grand final, and they were almost starting to talk up Bontempelli as the Norm Smith medalist. But then it just changed. They kicked 12 unanswered goals in 32 minutes, including time on a football.
It's unbelievable.
That's just unbelievable in today's football.
I had my chest pumped out halfway through the second quarter because I tipped the Bulldogs. I just thought their midfield, they got great in and out midfielders, and I thought they would hit up their blokes, but it's actually their midfielders who scored the goal. So I thought, my son texts me. He said, oh, they're home, the Bulldogs. I said, a bit early, old mate. So the next thing, it was a blitzkrieg.
It's just so interesting when it's become so overwhelming as a player, knowing that this has just slipped away and how they just succumbed to the whole thing, the Bulldogs, that there weren't too many that really stood up halfway through that third quarter. It was pretty much the flag went up in a sense. But it's when it just gets out of your grasp, particularly grand finals, it's just so hard to find something, and they just came with a rush.
It's extraordinary stuff.
Remarkable. I still think the AFL, when Christian Petrarca gets 40 touches and breaks the record, they shouldn't review it. They should have just left it at 40. To review it and drop it back to 39 takes away romantic story of which we live.
Is that a record, 40, is it?
40, it was going to be.
So
now,
who's he equal with?
Black. Simon Black.
So, champion data do that after every
game.
They go back and take possessions off, add some on.
Yeah.
But this one they took off, which I... Yeah, I thought he had 40. Then I'm looking at the stats and I go 39. They've pinched one off him.
It's a late trade for MEGT, local apprenticeship expert since 1982. And for Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day. So much to get into, of course. The open line is open, the Kogan Mobile open line, 1300 23 55 40. And you can tweet us anytime you want at Trade Radio. So much to get into over the next few weeks, boys. But we might just quickly, a little question without notice. Off the top of your head, who's his most important for the next couple of weeks, depending, you know, where they're at? Who's got the most pressure on them to be able to not just get it right on field, but off field as well? Because there are a couple of teams that automatically come to mind. Is it a Geelong, who have gone a certain list rebuild over the last decade or so and take a lot of criticism for always being a premiership challenger? Carlton, Michael Voss comes in as an obvious one as well, or is it a team on the rise that need to make sure they get this right to step up from maybe just outside the eight to having a crack in September? Any come to mind, boys, when I talk about teams that really have to have a nice couple of weeks?
This was the best season of footy I've seen for a long while. And I got no doubt the stand rule was because of it.
Mm-hmm.
There has been a slow transition of teams trying to follow Richmond, who really started the ball rolling with fast play on football, take the game on. Which is what, you know, I played in the 80s and Soss in the 90s. You go back and watch those games. They're moving the ball quick. Then it became so boring the last 5 years. Richmond changed that and won flags. Chris Fagan changed it at Brisbane because he knows they're in the entertainment business. Mm-hmm. And they need people to come into the gates at Brisbane. You know, there's a lot of competition in Queensland. So he got them going too. Didn't work out so well the first year, but they've got better and better and they're going to be a challenge again next year. So the bottom four teams, that's the best bottom four teams I've ever seen. They were fantastic, the bottom four teams, with North and Adelaide in particular, with young kids running around everywhere, and they were super competitive. I mean, Adelaide's knocked off Geelong and Melbourne.
Yeah.
They showed the whole footy world how to beat Melbourne, just not too many could follow up with it. So I think it's been a super season. My information is that, you know, the AFL wouldn't reveal who did the stand rule or who came up with it.
They keep it anonymous just in case it
I think they're worried about trolls.
Okay.
People who didn't like the rule and wanted to hoe into someone. You know, they wouldn't say who it was.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you who I'm pretty sure I know who it was.
Go on.
And I want to commend him highly for what he's done here because it is basically saved the game. And this game's going to get better again next year. Josh Vanderloo was the person, I believe, came up with the stand rule, who's now left the AFL and he's working at Hawthorn. Great fella. Know his parents very well from Adelaide. So I really loved it. I watched minimum seven, probably more so eight of games every week. And the only reason I couldn't get nine because Saturday night they were back, you know, head to head. So I'd be flicking back and forth, but you can only count one game. So I watched the lot. And I just thought it was a fascinating season. And I can't wait for next year because when you got the bottom team North, who are going to be so exciting, and Adelaide, Hawthorn have looked like, well, we're not bottoming out. You got Essendon made the finals, didn't think it was going to happen. We got Carlton, who should make it next year. We got Richmond, they'll bounce back. You're going, who's going to make the eight? How hard's it going to be? So I'm just so excited for the game next year. And I just hope the coaches don't – I hope they leave it as it is. They're going to keep the stand rule in. I hope they leave it and coaches don't try and bring back the boring footy, because that was fantastic to watch this year.
Do you think they relaxed that rule as the year went on?
They sort of relaxed it. Then the media puts a bit of pressure on Sauce and they have to bring it back in.
I thought they relaxed.
Yeah.
I think there was a couple of times, even in the grand final, where there was one definite, forget which team it was, but where the guy came off the mark and it should have been a 50.
Well, I'm really happy that they do that. So one step, you're going to give a 50 for one step. What you've achieved with the rule, you've got it, because it's allowed the players to play on quicker and move the ball quicker. So if someone's taking a step or two, that's not causing any interference to the disposal. I'm happy with that, but you just don't want that to get out of control, Sauce. If everyone starts doing it, then they give them three steps, four steps, five steps. That's what you've got to guard against. Yep. But I'm happy for a step or two as long as they still got that space to play on.
There is no doubt they loosened it as the year went on, but I think you have to do that with a new rule. You have to set the standard, and then you can allow a little leeway as it does continue. But as Matty just mentioned, coaches are going to take it to an nth degree, so it'll be interesting to see what they do into next year, because later in the year, the umpires, they have a bit of a feel. The feeling is that the better umpires obviously do finals and grand finals, so the high standard of umpires are there, and they maybe understand the game a little better or understand the way of which the flow works a little bit. So getting back to week one will be interesting next year.
Yeah, I'm surprised that what didn't happen this year was coaches trying to guard against goals out of the centre square. What did Melbourne kick, seven? Was it from the centre square? Certainly four in the third quarter. And I just get baffled why they just leave the players there and don't try and bring a wing right down to the corner and get him to run in behind, to guard behind and get the half forward, you know, your half forward inside 50. As soon as the ball hits the ground, rushes up to try and pick up the wing that is on the other side. I'm really surprised that no one's come up with anything to guard against what happened. They won the ball there and ran straight through the middle and gone, and goals and the pressure on. No one came up with anything, Sauce.
Well, I think that particular, I mean, that's, you're saying through the course of the year or that particular game?
Yeah, no, through the course of the year. We didn't see a thing.
I didn't really look at that, to be perfectly honest. I mean, just going back to the Bulldogs on the weekend, it's just really interesting in terms of what came out of there. I mean, generally most teams would say if you had two goals in a row, you go defensive.
Mm.
Well, they certainly didn't go defensive in the centre square bounce when they just walked it out of there. So, you know, that 3 or 4 minutes in that third quarter where they just walked it out, I mean, that's going to be probably a big focus of their review.
No doubt, that hurt bad
over the pre-season.
And it wasn't really Gawn dominance in there too. The ball hit the ground. I reckon they both teams had a chance to get hold of it, but they just they got it and they were off to the races and they just did not cover behind at all. Bulldogs, that hurt badly.
It did, and in the end, the D's run out. Huge winners win their first flag since 1964. You can tweet us anytime you like at Trade Radio. It is the Continental Tyres. AFL Trade Radio, when you need tyres, ask for Continental. Continental-tyres.com.au. Matty Rendell, Stephen Silvani, plenty to get into on the other side of this.